Say good evening to everyone. I'm glad that everyone came out tonight. And tonight, we'll be talking from something that we've heard a lot from in times past. The subject about Christian courage is what I'll be speaking on tonight. And I hope that there will be something that is said that will help each one of us to get something from this lesson. Okay. Just want to say that I'm not really a preacher or anything, but if I'm called upon to speak something from God's word, I will do the best that I can. And Brother Allen is absent, so the men here has been filling in, and tonight it's my time to fill in. I don't have an overhead presentation. The presentation that I put together, it's had small letters, and I'm afraid that the ones in the back probably couldn't make it out, so that's why I decided not to use it. But anyway, tonight's lesson is about Christian courage, and what it is discipline. Strengthen in the face of pain and grief. And I want to start out by saying, God knows his followers needed tremendous courage to carry them through the tribulations of life in a fallen world. For this reason, the Bible is filled with reinforced exhortation, like the one is in Psalms chapter 27 and verses 14, where the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Also, to be of good courage is to possess the inner quality that enables a person to be able to confront danger, rather, and difficulty without fear, and with calmness, boldness, confidence, strength, and trust. In the word of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31, the Bible says, "But they who wait or trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, that eagle is a very strong bird, and that eagle can fly for great distances. And that's what it is, that's what we are to do, is to be able to fly. Well, we don't fly, but we want to have the courage that the eagle has also. This kind of unshakable trust and courage is only possible for those who know the Lord as the Savior. At the very beginning of the psalm, the writer acknowledge, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear?" There shouldn't be any fear in us because we want to know and we believe that the Lord is our light and our salvation. The Lord is the strong hope in my life. Of whom will I be afraid? Psalms 27, the verses 1. In other words, this psalm is structured so that the psalmist expresses the confidence and trust is included also in his prayer and deliverance also, verses 1 through 6 and then 7 through 12. Also, there are a lot of Bible examples of courage. And we know that when Joshua was commissioned as Moses' successor, God encouraged Joshua to have courage. He said, "Be strong and of good courage," according to the New King James. "Be strong and courageous." Why would it say that? "Because the Lord your God go with you." But the thing of it is that, do we believe that? And that Joshua and those individuals, they believe that. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. And also Joshua 1 and verse 9. The same reassurance was given to Solomon and countless other servants of God throughout the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verses 12 through 15. As David was given instructions to Solomon on building the house of the Lord God of Israel. Also in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 37 through 50. Remember the story of David and Goliath? David had that courage also too. We should be of good courage because the Lord is with us. He is our security. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25, chapter 3 verse 25 and 26. We need not be afraid of sudden disasters or destruction that come upon us. For the Lord is our security. He will keep your foot from being caught. Remember the story in Acts chapter 8, where Paul was persecuting the church at Jerusalem. The Christians suffered a lot of cruelty, but they kept on doing what the Lord wanted them to do. They had the courage. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. And that's the way it is with us. You know, there's a lot of things that's going on in this world today. And as Christians, sometimes we want to bow out. As a matter of fact, a lot of Christians has bowed out. They don't want to do what God has told them to do. They will go to the other side. In other words, it's kind of like they're ashamed to be a Christian. They're ashamed to do what God would have them to do. And we know that. We know what the Lord says because we read his word all the time. And that was another example of Christian service, Christian courage. Remember the courage of Nathan. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And we all know the story. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." We know what happened in that situation right there. But he said, "Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such a thing." God was going to do a lot more for him also, too. And then verse 9 says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be your wife, or thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." That is one of the stories right there that a lot of people, you know, quote. And it is a hard thing that took place. And no one wants to admit it, but it took place. Also, developing courage. In the text of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I may not go through all of these right here, but this is from a personal evangelism Bible study that I was a part of many, many years ago. When Joshua was anointed by God to lead the children of Israel to Canaan, God told him to be strong and very courageous. Courage is essential for a soldier in battle, and for a soldier of Christ in the fight of faith. We are all soldiers, and we have to understand that we are in this battle. So we have to be courageous. We have to have courage. And one of the things that we can do is remember how it was with David and Goliath. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, we are to put on the whole armor of God. You are to take everything that the Lord has given you. When you read that scripture, the Lord has given it to you. Courage is the strength of the soul. God is no use for cowards. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. The just live by faith and will not draw back. Spiritual strength includes steadfastness, it includes bravery, it includes faith in God and honest. It's not going to come by an accident. It's something that we have to have. We have made up our mind about these things. And we want to also show that Christians need to be strong and courageous. Sources of courage and how they must build their lives and service upon the foundation, and is founded on courage. In the area in which one needs to be strong is illustrated by faith. Courage to worship. Remember the story of Daniel in the 6th chapter of Daniel and how they plotted against Daniel. Remember those things that took place? He was one of the three princes under the king of Babylon. And they couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they had to make a decree about someone that prayed to God. Something should happen to them. And that's what they did. They plotted against Daniel. He was someone who had respect. He was honest. He had respect. According to verse 3 through 5, he openly served God, knowing that he was risking his position and his life. In verse 10, when you do things for the Lord, you're risking a lot of things about you, because people will tell untruths about you. They will say things that is not true, or they will try to put you in another category of someone who think that they are more than anybody else. And sometimes, I have said this in times past, I don't think that I'm more than anybody else. That's what you think. I don't think that way. But sometimes people will want to flip it to the point where you think that you are more than anybody else. No, that's not the case. We're trying to follow what God wants us to do. That's what you think. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. As a matter of fact, last week, I did have a conversation with someone, and that was the indication right there. But I had to get that person straight about something. No, that's not what I do. About drinking. And I think that the individual understood what I was talking about. But nevertheless, that person went on. Okay. He openly served God, knowing that he was at risk. And he would not compromise his service to God for any reason. You know, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And because he did that is the reason why they were saying that we want to make sure by getting the king to sign this decree that anybody that prayed to God and not pray to the king should be thrown in the lion's den or whatever the case may be. But Daniel still had that faith and trust in the Lord. He overcame all of that through God in verse 16 through 20, being thrown in the lion's den. And sometimes we may have to suffer some things. But God is the one who gets us through these things. Okay, and then that was also the courage to stand against sin. And we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. They would not go along with the crowd to succumb to sin. In other words, they wanted them to bow down to something that they knew wasn't right. We shouldn't bow down either to things that we know that is wrong, because God has given us an understanding, a spiritual understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And when we do that, we know that we are wrong. We need to repent of those things and ask God to forgive us, ask our brothers and sisters to forgive us if we brought something against us through the church here. They did not even pretend to worship the idols. Verse 15 through 18. You know, this blazing furnace was intimidating to a lot of people. I think that they said that it was so hot until the people that was throwing other people into, throwing them into the furnace there was burned up or consumed or ever hot it was. But it didn't bother them because they knew who they served. And that's what we need to do, is know who we serve also too. And then there's the courage to flee from evil. And we all know the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 29. Nobody would have known that that was a sin except God. But how can I do this to my Lord? How can I do this? And there are a lot of people who go and they do things and they feel like it. Nobody sees that. Somebody might go 100 miles to commit a sin, 200 miles, halfway across the world, around the world, to commit a sin. But nobody saw me. Nobody here at Holly Street saw me. God did. And you know, sometimes things can get back. Maybe you may not have recognized somebody, and it may be a year, 2 years, or something like that, but come back, oh yes, I remember you when you were at such and such a place. See, God has a way of dealing with any one of us. We can't hide from God. His eyes is always open. He sees us all every time we do something. His livelihood in a strange country was at stake. We're talking about Joseph here. He overcame with God's help in Genesis chapter 41, 39 through 44. And then there's the courage to fight, even when no one else will. Now we know the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David kill Goliath. Everybody else ran away and was afraid to fight Goliath. You know, when I was back in high school, I had a football coach. They used to tell us, tell our team, you know, we'd be playing football against a team that was probably much bigger. A lot of the men was bigger than what we are. A lot of the young men was bigger than us than what we were. He says it's not the size of the dog that's in the fight. It's the size of the fight that's in the dog. If you understand what I'm talking about, you may be small in stature, but there are ways where you can go about doing this thing. And this is what I look for. And this is what I saw in David. Yes, he was big and he was intimidating. But some kind of way, and it was God was with him, because David had the courage to stand up for what he thought was right. He was alone physically and overpowered. He knew that he and God made the majority in verse 33 and 30 through 37. He overcame with God's help. Verse 43, 45, and 50. And there again, we're talking about Nathan, the courage of Nathan here. in 2 Samuel chapter 12. His teaching may have cost him his life. He told the king that you're the one. That man David could have had him killed at any time, but he had the courage to do so. And then there was also a challenge with Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 3, verses 1 through 11, Ezekiel was a watchman, and he was warning the wicked. Watch for the approaching enemies and warn the cities of danger. Ezekiel, Daniel, those men had a lot of things that was against that went against them. They had a very big task ahead of them. Now, the source of courage comes from God, the Father. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 6, when the people spoke of stoning David, but David strengthened himself in the love of the Lord God. In other words, God was with him, and he believed that. Also, the source of courage, the Son. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken to you. In me, you may have peace. I have overcome the world. And these are the type of things here that we want to understand. These are the things that we want to remember. Christ has already overcome all the things that we can be challenged by. And then also, in the Holy Spirit and his revelation. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, where it talks about whatever things was written four times, written for our learning, that we through patience of the scripture and comfort may have hope. And his help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16, were to come boldly to the throne of grace. Whenever we're going through some things, we'll be able to go to God and we can talk to him about any situation that there is. As for the boldness in preaching the gospel, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul said that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. And that's what it's about. Whenever we are saying something or doing something, that we want to talk boldly about what God has told us to do. Not so much in a sense where you want to put somebody to shame. All you want to do is say what God's word is saying. People are going to have their own ideas about who you are. And it's like I told this individual, let's go to the Bible and let's see what it talks about. Let's see what it's talking about. I don't want you to think that I'm so up here and nothing like that. All we want to do is just see what God's word is saying. You are an intelligent person. I know that you believe in God. But do you believe in his word and what his word is saying? As I move on, also courage for brethren also too. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, brothers are encouraging to one another, encouraging to inspire with courage the hope of the Spirit as it dwells in us. Faithful attendance at assemblies allows brothers to help one another and to study and worship. In other words, it's good to study God's word. Sure, there's a lot of people who have different understandings about what God's word is saying. But let's study and let's see what God's word is saying. And if there's any differences right there, then we might want to check it out, maybe see what's going on. And perhaps maybe if someone is wrong or want to see something done another way, then you can be honest. That's what we talked about earlier, it's about being honest. And that's the way it was with Daniel. He was honest. All of us can want to be honest also, too. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, brothers are to exalt one another. And they are to do that daily. in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And they went from house to house. And that's what they were doing. Steadfast in God's word. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, brothers are to edify one another. To edify is to strengthen, encourage, or build up. Too often, it's the opposite of truth. Sometimes what brothers will do was tear down one another. And see, that's what the devil wants us to do, is tear each other down. Because see, if there's division, let there be no division in us. But that's what we want to do, is we want division. And whenever it's division in us, that's where the devil will get this person aside one way or another. And then you are left in a situation here where nobody is accomplishing anything. The Christians who seek the world over brethren is not trying to strengthen, In other words, they believe in the world system. Also in Acts 28, verse 15, good brethren can be great sources of encouragement in times of need. Paul saw the brethren, what was it in Acts 28, verse 15, and how he was pleased that they met him, and he took courage behind that too. Whenever you see that your brothers is with you, and yes, you're gonna feel good about that. Christians must build on a foundation of courage. Courage is built on foundations here. He must possess a good conscience, knowing that he has obeyed God. And how we do that is we assemble with one another. We have Bible studies with one another. God knows every thought. He knows every motive. Christians must be sincere. He cannot obtain courage unless he knows he is doing right. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the righteous are bold as a lion. And that's what we want to do, is be bold with it. But we want to do it in meekness, and we want to do it in spiritual love. That's how we want to handle that. This blessed assurance is what we're seeing. I think Brother Brian led that this morning about blessed assurance. Jesus is mine here. We want to make sure that we do it in blessed assurance. He must place his unfailing trust in God. Do you trust him? Or do we say that we trust him? Have we actually been put to test about something? We can say this, but do we actually trust him? Also, he must believe he will be with him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, and he's talking about more than a conqueror. He must put him first and foremost. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Both a good conscience and an unfailing trust comes with study and studying God's word. One must study to build faith and to understand and how to obey the Lord. See, a lot of times the people, when you're trying to tell them what they must do in order to be saved, they will come up with a lot of different things about, all I have to do is put my hand on the radio, and all I got to do is believe that the Lord is going to save me, and all of these things right here. And the Bible doesn't teach all of that. What those people did to be saved, the same thing happens today. There's no difference. The Bible is not going to change. Because if it did, he would have to come back down here and down the cross again. So we have to obey it the way that he has prescribed for it to be. One must study to be of faith and understand how to be saved. One must study and learn most of God, and to develop a greater appreciation for the trust in him. I think 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 15 talks about study. Assure thyself approved of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. Also, in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 13, David also instructed Solomon again, as we once read, but it was a different verse. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decree and regulations that the Lord gave in Israel through Moses. In other words, Moses was the one who started it. And we are to follow behind that. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart. And that's a hard thing sometimes whenever you see people and you know that they have some kind of animosity or something towards somebody, then they'll want to, they'll intimidate somebody. Okay, also Esther was another example of what courage is all about. The courage of Esther in Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat in his royal throne, sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. Verse 2 says, and it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. In other words, when Esther had promised to intercede for her people, when she found out that they were planning on destroying her people. In Proverbs 21, verses 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. See, God can take something, and he can do something, or take someone and make something out of it. One of the other things that I was wanting to talk about or say something about, too, about courage. Most of us have seen The Wizard of Oz. And we know that as they were going to the Emerald City, we know what each one of them was trying to get. And the Cowardly Lion wanted courage. And that's the way that a lot of people are. They won't have courage. But we don't want to be like that Cowardly Lion, though, because he did follow through. But the thing with us, though, we go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for that courage that we need. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. In other words, be brave. Also in verse 14, it says, let all of your things be done with love. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whatever I come to see, I come to see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affair, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28 says, and nothing or no way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an event or proof, token of perdition or destruction, but to you of salvation and that of God. Also 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, we have to have, or we want a disciplined mind. In the face of threats, we are to be good. We are to be of good courage, because the Lord himself is with us, and he is worthy of our trust. There is no night so long, no darkness so great, no suffering so painful, no evil so frightful, and no enemy so fierce as to disturb the confidence of the one who has God in his sight and the Lord for his salvation. Believers can be of good courage and not be afraid, because the Lord is the stronghold of their life. In Acts chapter 27, verse 22, remember the storm that Paul was in? He had that blessed assurance. We are in a storm also too, brothers and sisters, every day of our life. And we want to have that type of assurance also. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all sin. Ezekiel had an assignment also to the courage of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2, 6. He had to speak to a rebellious house. And 2, 6 says, and our son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with you, and thou dwellest among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. People will look at you, and they will intimidate you through their looks. We want to remember, I have so much here, but anyway, I'm not going to read all of this right here, but the courage of Peter and John when they was put in custody. Peter preached to the Sanhedrin. They were commanded not to preach in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 20. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, in verse 20, what they were saying here is, for we cannot but speak things that we have heard. And then there's also the courage of Mary. In Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, it says, but Peter did not remain in prison. God sent an angel to release him. After his escape, Peter went to Mary's house. Okay. In Acts 12 is the only direct reference to Mary, but we learn several things about the account. First of all, we see a woman active in serving the Lord. Number two, despite persecution, she opened up her home to the disciples for meeting, and she was not afraid to identify with the Lord's people. I did say something about Potiphar's wife, so I won't go into that one right there. But anyway, there is some other things here that I want to finish up with. Famous quotes. There's a quote by Winston Churchill. He says, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. We want to speak, but sometimes we have to sit down and listen to what is being said also, too, so we can get the right understanding about it. There's another quote from Maya Angelou, and she said, courage is the most important of all virtues, because without courage, you cannot practice any other virtues consistently. And those virtues is something about a behavior and showing moral standards, what she was talking about here. And then, courage is the power of equality, of dealing with, of facing danger, fears, pain, etc. The courage of one's conviction is confidence to act in accordance with one's belief. It takes one's courage in both hands and maneuver oneself to perform an action. Number four, everyday courage in our daily life. We have courage every day. And this is something I heard here recently. I heard from former Vice President Mike Pence, who said, I do not take courage to break the law. I'm sorry, it does not take courage to break the law. It takes courage to uphold the law. And that's what we have to do, because sometimes we have to speak out about things that we don't agree with. Also, in our conclusion here, the Christian must purpose in his heart to build courage, to take courage in those who have overcome before him by seeking the encouragement that is in God and by seeking the encouragement of true Christian. We have all of these examples in the Bible here that we can take examples from and learn from. Each one need to trust in God to be strong and courageous in his service. And as we extend the invitation here, we know that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, there were 3,000 souls that heard Peter's sermon and had courage to do what they were told in order to be saved. We have to do the same thing today. We hear God's word. We believe it, we repent, we confess, and we're baptized for the remission of sin. The next thing is, do we have the courage to step out on the wings of faith and do what God would have us to do? If there's one here tonight that want to express something that's on their heart, or if there's someone that wants to obey the gospel, come forward and let it be known, and we can take care of that tonight, if we have the courage to do so. At this time, let us be standing and sing the song that's been selected to sing.